How can you achieve and maintain business growth? Harvard Business School Executive Education is now accepting applications for a new program, Driving Profitable Growth. Taking place in Boston from October 25th through the 28th, this program focuses on business expansion and organizational growth strategies that can lead your company into the future. Learn more about this three-day program for senior leaders by visiting hbs.me/growth. That's hbs.me/growth.
You are Locked On Celtics, your daily Celtics podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
I'm so hyped right now. Anything's possible. Oh, my mama. Oh, my mama made it, man. Anything's possible.
Rainy days, jump shot fade away. This the best Celtics podcast day to day, especially when the season get hectic. I stay waiting on it like receiving a Nets pick. Nothing like the terrible analysts on the TV. So in depth, you might even hear a story on Gigi. So in depth, they might do an hour about the D-League. So in depth, you probably should pay him, but it's a freebie. Yeah, John Corrales and Jay King. Locked on, trying to get the 18th ring. So you can miss me with the blah blah. No more Geno time, we watching Jay do the Zaza. Melis.
Hey there, welcome back to the Locked On Celtics podcast here on the Locked On Podcast Network. Thank you for making us part of your daily routine. We are the Rain and Jays, John Corrales and Jay King, here to talk about a little bit of what we're going to be talking about for the rest of the month, basically the NBA draft. And this time, Danny Ainge saying specifically that I don't know who I'm taking and I might trade down. So just kind of playing the coy game, even though we all know that it's Markelle Fultz's position to be had. Or is it? I don't know. And then also the report that Danilo Gallinari, to say that in very Chris Webber-ish fashion, is going to become an unrestricted free agent. We are brought to you today by SeatGeek. We, like everybody else, have a special for you on SeatGeek, but get it through us. Let them know you listen to us. That's really the way it should happen. All right, Jay. Let's get to the beginning here. Adam Himmelsbach, who is, I guess, going to be driving our podcast from now on, has put out another piece in the Globe talking about Danny Ainge in the draft, and he's out in Las Vegas, and he was at the, I believe it was at the, Jay-Z's Rock Nation, Pro Day. So he talked to Ainge on the phone, and Ainge said, and I quote, "The only thing we know for certain is we have the number one pick. What we don't know for certain is who that person is yet and what sort of value the pick can get us if we choose to go another direction other than just drafting the pick." So he also adds, quote, "We are in the process of evaluating the whole draft and we are fielding phone calls." So everybody start your panic. Maybe it's not Fultz. Maybe the Celtics will trade down and go for somebody else. So I'll just pose the obvious question, Jay. How much of this is just Ainge saying what he needs to say, and how much of it is actually Ainge going, well, I don't know, maybe it won't be Fultz?
I think it's Ainge doing what any GM should do and exploring all his options, seeing what else is out there. Obviously, we talk about the stars that have been rumored, linked to the Celtics and rumors in the past, whether it's Paul George, Jimmy Butler. Ainge is out there looking to see what other stars might be available now that the Celtics have the number one pick. And now that it's concrete and there could be more options open, who knows, maybe guys that weren't previously available will become available because the Celtics have this pick and they have more picks and they have so many assets. And obviously, you know, the Celtics need a lot more. As quality a season as they had, they need a lot more to really challenge the Cavaliers, to challenge the Warriors. And so Ainge is looking at his best options to position his team for the future. I think the safest bet, no matter what, is Markelle Fultz. At keeping the number one pick, drafting him, putting him in there, and kind of straddle the line between right now and tomorrow. And maybe Jaylen Brown and or Markelle Fultz becomes a star and changes gives the Celtics a window of opportunity for now. Maybe, you know, you have to pivot later toward the future, toward those guys, toward whoever is the 2018 Nets pick. But I do think the most likely scenario is that they play for now and the future by keeping Fultz and running back most of the same guys, and then hopefully adding an impact free agent to the group that won 53 games and reached the Eastern Conference Finals and has a lot going for it already.
Yeah, I guess you have to do your due diligence. You can't just walk in here and say, it's Markelle Fultz. Like, if he just said that, then he would take away any possibility of some stupid GM maybe giving him an offer that he couldn't refuse, the so-called Godfather offer. So there lies the potential somewhere in this draft that, say, the Sacramento Kings will want to do something stupid because that's what the Kings do. Or the New York Knicks might want to do something stupid because that's what the Knicks do. And so there are options out there, and Danny Ainge would be pretty stupid himself to just kind of shut the door on a team that may offer him so much that I know Markelle Fultz could be a transcendent player, but you could also get a couple of almost transcendent players. You would trade down, obviously. Anything that involves a trade, and he said as much in the piece, you guys should go read it at the Boston Globe. He said as much in the piece that it would probably involve trading down. So you could go down to 3 or 4 or 5 or somewhere in that range, or maybe look for a team that needs more veteran help, win now guys. And maybe this is your kind of way of getting out of the backcourt logjam, and maybe Avery Bradley ends up getting moved. That's, again, another offseason of us talking about Avery Bradley being moved. But there are options to be explored. There's no doubt about it. As much as we're solidly in the draft Fultz camp, there are options to be explored. So he would be stupid not to kind of throw that out there.
Do you think the Sixers, with the number 3, would try to move up?
I would not be surprised. I mean, that would be kind of Sixer-ish to do. Plus, when you look at the new regime there, they probably would want some sort of established star, wouldn't they? So they could maybe explore that option. I wouldn't be surprised at that. I mean,
like 3 and Saric.
See, I've seen that floated around. That's a real interesting possibility.
I never have a good handle on what the value is.
That's hard to kind of, like, Saric is, I mean, look, he had a type of season that was kind of rookie of the year worthy for, but if he had played the whole season, if that had continued the whole year, he seems like he's a really good prospect that could be a really good player moving forward. And then I guess it depends on at 3. Does Danny Ainge feel like, or do you feel like, that Josh Jackson, or De'Aaron Fox or Jason Tatum are good enough to be palatable in as a replacement for Fultz? Now you've got a potential rookie of the year quality guy in Saric, and maybe a star quality player in one of these other guys. I don't know.
It's an interesting conversation. I don't think the Celtics are going to trade the number 1 pick. I think they're very comfortable with Markelle Fultz. I think he is going to be a stud. I think they think he's going to be a stud. But those are the type of conversations the Celtics front office will have. Like, there's so much that the number 1 pick opens up to you. And so it's not just the old like trade several pieces for George or Butler. It's now like, okay, now we have all these other options that open up, and we could go a lot of different directions with this. So they have to explore all of that, and that's what they'll do. That's what they'll spend the next, 3 weeks, 4 weeks doing before the draft comes. It's got to be a fun time for them with so many directions, and a nerve-wracking time with how many different directions they could go this summer, how many different directions they could go next summer. Like, there are so many just ridiculously tough decisions that they'll have to make over the next year and change to really try to guide this team into the future.
Yeah, I'm looking at now that we're talking about Philly, the picks that they control, and I'm just wondering if Ainge could get Saric, the third pick and like next year's Lakers pick, because the Sixers have the 2018 first round pick from the Lakers, and then Ainge could go into next year's draft with the Lakers pick and the Nets pick. I'm trying to
throw
think
an Embiid too.
Well, it would be an obvious. I mean, that would be an obvious youth movement. The Celtics would clearly at that point. I mean, unless they trade down and also sign Gordon Hayward, then holy shit. But we're starting to even just now in the early stages of this conversation get into some wild predictions. I would not be surprised.
These are not predictions. Our
wild prediction. Conversation, let's say. So I would say.
We're just spitballing here.
It's just spitballing. The Sixers, I think, would be kind of an interesting scenario. And Saric is an interesting guy. He's a guy that can play. I mean, can you play him at the three a little bit? He fills a need if you're okay with Al Horford moving over to the five, and you're not exactly. I don't think you're getting a gigantic uptick in rebounding. You're probably not going to improve your rebounding much at all, but yeah, I mean, his shooting would be great.
Yeah. It's going to be Fultz.
It's going to be. Let's just.
We talk about all this, but it's going to be Fultz. Pretty sure it's going to be Fultz.
Pretty sure.
We'll see, though.
Possibly not sure. That's the – just throwing it out there that Danny Ainge has said enough that it just throws a little bit of a question mark. And Danny Ainge being Danny Ainge, we all know there's something that we don't know that he'll pull off somewhere. One name that we didn't mention is Lonzo Ball, who is mentioned in this piece and who has been discussed a lot recently, and mostly because his father, LeVar, is pulling the strings and saying he's not working out for anybody besides the Lakers, which I think is stupid. Even if he just wants to go to the Lakers, you got to be a businessman. You got to be a businessman, or else you're setting yourself up, the Balls are, for a great, great disappointment. And I know that they are L.A. guys, but they may not be L.A. guys for very long if they're not good enough for the Lakers. And we all know that the NBA is a business and things kind of don't always break your way, even though they seem to be breaking the Ball's way right now. And I'll quote Ainge one more time from the Himmelsbach piece. He invokes the name of Paul Pierce. I think if Paul Pierce were coming out of college and he had a chance growing up in Inglewood, California, and being a Laker fan and with his family in L.A., I think if he had a choice of going to Boston or L.A., he probably would have chosen L.A. But he got drafted by Boston, and now he's a Boston guy, which is perfectly said. We all know that. We've all accepted that. There's no doubt that he was a Lakers guy. He talks about sneaking into the Forum as a kid. He got drafted by the Celtics, and now he's a Celtics legend. Now, let's pretend for a second that Ball's workout doesn't go well with the Lakers. Then what? What if the Lakers pass on him? Then what?
Yeah, I just hope it's this kid making his own decisions. Like, I hope it's Lonzo who wants to say no to working out for the team with the number one pick. And it's Lonzo who wants to be close to his family in Los Angeles. Because it would be really sad if it's his father pulling all these strings, making all these decisions, and the kid isn't on board with all this. So I just hope it's Lonzo, man. I think it's Fultz at number one. I think he's a tier above Lonzo as a prospect. I think most people around the NBA agree with that. I don't think there's real damage to him not accepting the offer to work out for the Celtics, because there was probably a small chance to a very small chance anyway, that the Celtics are going to take him. But I just hope, I really just hope that it's him who wants all this and that his father is not forcing all of this on him, because obviously his father's he's a very loud and dominant personality. And I really hope he's on board with all the things that his father is doing.
That's the big thing. And so much of this, it is driven by LaVar Ball. And you don't hear Lonzo talk a lot. You don't hear him say much. It's all LaVar who's out there. And you haven't heard that throughout this entire process. And a lot of people will project feelings against LaVar, and they'll project those feelings onto Lonzo. And they'll say, I'm sick of the Ball family. I don't want to deal with them. And they'll see things like LaMelo going out there and either cherry picking 92 points or pulling up from 40 feet and barely hitting the backboard. It just all seems to kind of fit an equation of this guy is to some degree ruining his kids by doing what he does. I don't know. That's just me saying from the outside. I have no idea what that family dynamic is really like inside. Maybe he's not. Maybe it's just something that's happening. I can't really say for sure.
But, by the way, that poor LaMelo, man. Poor LaMelo with his low-light video going around.
It's a harsh lesson for a 15-year-old kid to learn. But when you cherry-pick your way to 92 points and that video gets out there, you better believe that when you have a low light like that all in one game, that's going to get out there. Like, that's a hell of a lesson. That was a bad, bad game. But he's 15.
I want to see that whole game, though. I want to see what happened that whole game. Like, was he also making unreal plays throughout the game? Was he also giving highlights, or was it just like he was dog crap? They got smoked by like 50 or something.
Yeah, I have a
that
heart.
Poor kid. And that's the backlash that the father is giving to his kids. Whereas LaMelo Ball, if he's a normal 15-year-old kid, nobody cares that he has a bad game.
Right.
Now he's 15-year-old whose father is talking all this stuff, building this big baller brand, charging $495 for a pair of sneakers, and all of a sudden people want to tear you down. And maybe they would have looked the other way if the low light video came out. Instead, it becomes viral because of all the attention the Balls have gotten. So there is a backlash to that. And I think Lonzo is great at basketball. Lonzo seems like a great teammate. He seems like a low key kid who kind of just fits in. But there is a backlash to what LaVar is doing. And you saw it even in that video, like everyone was just on this kid who's 15 years old.
Right.
I don't think I've ever seen like a low light video of a kid who's 15 years old before.
No.
It's just never happened. You see all the highlights, you see the big time dunks, you see all that stuff. But I have never seen a low light video of a top prospect, I don't think.
No, you're absolutely right. And it's all because of the dad. It's all because of LaVar Ball going out there. And look, it's one thing to be brash. It's one thing to say, I believe my son's the best and talk a little bit of smack. That's fine. But LaVar going out there and saying, I could have beaten Michael Jordan, you know, this and that, or starting to say a lot of the things that he said. And then on top of it, having some real kind of classless interactions with Christine Leahy on the Cowherd Show, and just having that element interjected, saying things like, what do you say about Kyrie's mom? Kyrie's mom.
Some of this stuff just goes over the top.
It's way over the top. And across
a lot of it, like the Michael Jordan stuff was funny. Here's this dude who averaged like 2 points a game at a Division I school saying he could beat Michael Jordan in his prime one on one. Like, that stuff is funny. Like it'd be like me saying I could play quarterback for the Patriots better than Tom Brady. that to me is funny. It's all the other stuff that comes with it that's too much.
No, it hurts his kids. And it hurts his kids for sure.
I don't know. Maybe it won't hurt his kids. It won't hurt Lonzo, and maybe he'll go number two to the Lakers, and it'll go storytale career, like fairy tale career rather, and he'll just have like this awesome career, and his father will end up being a footnote to a Hall of Fame career. Who knows? That's within the realm of possibility.
Let me ask you that. Let me ask you this, though. When the Lakers, let's say they draft him and all this stuff and it's all going great, and the first time the Lakers play the Cavaliers, what do you think is going to happen to Lonzo Ball in that game? You don't think LeBron and Kyrie are going to light him the hell up, one on the defensive end, one on the offensive end, just because of what his dad said? You don't think that him going out there against Steph Curry and the Warriors when his father's going out there talking all this shit about his son's better than Steph right now. Like, that's all fun. That's all great. But your son's about to be a rookie in a man's league going out there where rookies struggle. And unless he finds this weird, crazy level real fast, he's going to be the most targeted rookie that we've seen in a very, very long time. It's going to be like Dream Team versus Croatia, or when Jordan and Pippen were going up against, what's his name?
Tony Kukoc.
Tony Kukoc, yeah, and just decimated him and broke him. Now, that may not mean a whole lot in the long run. Maybe that's not something that Lonzo, it's not like it's going to be a soul-crushing thing. But you know what? A rookie doesn't need that, no matter what. A rookie doesn't need that target on his back. He needs these guys to kind of help him along. You know, and if you're respectful and you work with these guys and pay at least respectful lip service to people, you can at least talk to them in the off season and pick their brains. You think anybody wants to help Lonzo Ball now? No way. They could tell him to go screw, and it's all going to be his father's fault. I just think his father is putting him in a situation that's unnecessary.
You know what was the best part about Celtics getting the number one draft pick?
What?
Was that I didn't have to spend time thinking about LeVar Ball.
Yeah, let's move on.
Let's get on. We talked about LeVar.
Yep.
Hey, maybe Lonzo will go to the Celtics. Maybe we'll have to have more LeVar Ball conversations later.
You never know.
But
I know that there are a lot of Celtics fans that don't want, they just hearing this conversation and hearing that possibility, they cringe at the thought of having to deal with LeVar Ball coming to Boston and being on Boston radio and having to deal with that sideshow. I don't think that they would want to go buy tickets to go see him play. I don't think that they would whip out the SeatGeek app like we want them to go see him play. I think they would be turned off by that, even though SeatGeek is the best place to buy your tickets online, either through the app or through their website, because they've created this awesome site that aggregates all of the tickets from all the other secondary sellers and puts them all in one place. So it's the first place that you should go, like I and Jay do, to go to a game when you're buying tickets to next year's Celtics game, or use it this summer to go to a concert or to a Red Sox game. Put it on your phone like I did and use it whenever you want to go to an event. SeatGeek does all the price comparison. They search all those other ticket sites. They rate the tickets. They let you see the seat from your app. You just click on it and it shows you the view that you're going to have. They give it a grade based on value, so you immediately see the underpriced seats and you can find the best deals that fit your budget, whatever your budget is. If it's up in the rafters, if it's down on the floor, SeatGeek will find the best deal for you in your price range. And you still, even though it's the off season, you can use our coupon code for the $20 rebate off your first SeatGeek purchase. Go download the SeatGeek app, go to the settings tab, click add a promo code, enter LO Celtics. SeatGeek sends you $20 back after you've made your first purchase. It's very simple. Download the SeatGeek app, enter the promo code LO Celtics. You get $20 back after you've made your first ticket purchase to whatever it is. So do that today. And if you go buy those tickets, maybe you'll see Danilo Gallinari in the Celtics uniform, who is a favorite of Danny Ainge. He's made runs at Gallinari before. So, Jay, now that it's been made known that Gallinari is going to explore unrestricted free agency, if the Celtics, let's go with the prevailing wisdom that they're going to pursue Gordon Hayward first, if that does not work out, does Gallinari become a target for Danny Ainge, do you think?
Obviously, Ainge has had a lot of love for Danilo Gallinari in the past. He's tried to trade for him before. There have been different years. Like, the Gallinari's name has come up several times on the Celtics trade rumor front. There's obvious interest there in the player that he is. Two things I think to keep in mind. One is, if you don't use the cap space, then then you're going to lose it. Like, this is the year that they have cap space. Moving forward, they're not going to have flexibility because Avery Bradley, Marcus Smart, Isaiah Thomas are due for raises. Kelly Olynyk's already due for raises this summer. Like, this affordable roster is not going to be affordable for a long time. It is just this summer that they have this window to go out and target guys while keeping the roster intact. So I think you go after Hayward. I think you go after maybe Blake Griffin, although obviously his injury history is troublesome. And then there's an obvious drop-off. And Gallinari is one of those guys who is certainly a talented guy. He would certainly help the current roster. He would give them wing versatility. He would give them scoring. He would give a lot of the things that they need. He's a bigger wing, which would be very helpful. Obviously, you saw in the playoffs at times the size of their wings, whether they had Marcus Smart 3 or sometimes like Terry Rozier at 3. That's a super small lineup. So there's a lot that he does well, but you also have to think if they pay a guy like Gallinari, then there's a chance that to keep all the guys that they have, or to keep the majority of the guys that they currently have, this roster, the luxury tax is going to be astronomical. So maybe you go after a guy like that on a short-term contract, pay him a lot, like the Amir Johnson contract was, with like 2 years, pay him a lot, and use that cap space like that, and so that then you still have not the flexibility of more cap space moving forward, but the flexibility of being able to make decisions on who you want to keep moving forward. So Gallinari is certainly a target, but the Celtics might have to get creative with some of the contract stuff. If they don't get Hayward, if they don't decide that Blake Griffin is worth it and get him, a guy like that, like it's going to be interesting to see what they do with that cap space. You can also give some of it to Isaiah Thomas, extend his contract, you know, give him a raise this summer, extend him for a few years. Since you can do the same thing with Avery Bradley. So there's a lot of stuff to talk about for the Celtics foot office this summer. It's amazing all the things they'll be juggling in a 1 or 2 week span.
Yeah, this is such an interesting case because from a pure player perspective, man, would it be interesting to have a starting five. You, first of all, depending on what he's going to go for, is it possible the Celtics can get him for less than the max? Is he going to be a max player? It's hard to say. 28-year-old guy, 6'10", that can shoot the way he does. That's going to be very valuable. That type of player, stretch four like him, is just extremely valuable. But there's some injury concern that he's had problems staying on the floor. And he's been a little bit more durable this past season, but still, the previous two seasons, 53 games, 59 games, he still hasn't played. He's had one season where he played 81 games. The next highest was 71 games, and then that's it. It's 63 this past season, so he has trouble staying on the floor. But it is interesting to say if you can get him for less than the max, and you can keep Avery Bradley, and maybe you bring back Kelly Olynyk, and you just go for it. Then, from just a player perspective, that would be a real interesting lineup: Isaiah, Avery, Crowder, Gallinari, and Horford. There's a lot of shooting out there that can really help you out. There's a lot of shooting out there. And that really, I mean, what more do you want than that much shooting? And then you still have, you're drafting Fultz, and he can shoot. And you've got, if you bring Olynyk off the bench, or Rozier if he improves, it's an interesting scenario. However,
and somebody like Gallinari, especially with the roster flexibility, it's like this year, if the Celtics went small, they either had to like dust off Gerald Green or give Jaylen Brown big minutes when maybe he wasn't ready, or move Marcus Smart to the three in super small lineups that weren't always effective. Like, having a guy like Gallinari with his size and shooting and versatility just unlocks different lineup possibilities, and so that you can go small while still staying relatively large. You know, Like it wouldn't be going so small. It would just be going more skilled. And so that would be a big deal. Gallinari, obviously, he's an intriguing option. But I do think, like, his injury risk is substantial. And then just the fact that if you go out and spend more money and you're not bringing in a real star, who a guy like Gordon Hayward or whatever, then you risk, again, going into this luxury tax for a team that might not be substantially better than it was this past season. And I don't know if the Celtics owners think about that. And if you do spend that money, then you might be having to say goodbye to Avery Bradley or Marcus Smart because of signing a guy like Gallinari. And I don't know what those conversations sound like in the Celtics front office right now, but there's a lot going on, man.
There is a lot
going on. And but Gallinari certainly a guy, very intriguing.
I'm sure that the conversation will be had, but you're right. This is our one shot with the cap space. And but one thing that we keep talking about the trade. There is the possibility of using that cap space this summer to acquire a player in an unbalanced trade. That's another way to use that cap space. So they can spend. They don't have to spend it all on one player. If Hayward stays in Utah, and frankly, I expect Hayward to stay in Utah. That's probably the most likely outcome. And if they decide, maybe they kick the tires on Gallinari. But again, he's 28 years old. He's somewhat injury, not somewhat injury prone. He's had a real bad injury history, and he plays a position that people need. So he's going to want, from his perspective, at his age, he's opting out of $16 million this year to get a longer term contract. So when he hits 32, 33, depending on his injury history, he can be set. Meanwhile, teams need stretch fours. In this league, a stretch four is one of the most valuable things you can have. And he's one of them, and he's probably the best one that's on the market. So teams might say, we're gonna roll the dice and give him that security. So the Celtics might be out on him. So let's say those two things go by the wayside. The Celtics do have a third option, or if you want to say trading for Butler or George or something like that is a third option. A fourth option would be an unbalanced trade in which the Celtics use some of their $20 million cap space to acquire a $10 million a year player in an unbalanced trade. And then maybe they use the rest of the cap space to give Isaiah a raise and something that might be a little bit more palatable to both sides. So it makes that luxury tax hit down the line a little less, maybe a little bit more palatable. So there are other things the Celtics can do with that cap space. Gallinari is certainly one of those options, but it's going to be a long summer. We got a lot going on.
It's going to be a crazy summer, man.
It's going to be a crazy summer. And
did you see one of Fultz's college coaches came out and said he'd be a perfect fit next to us?
Yes. Yep. I agree.
Should we reshape the conversation about that? Like, instead of wondering can they coexist, should it be how fucking badass would that duo be? Like really, I don't see how you can have two such skilled guys, and one of them is 6'5" and really long and can play two guard defensively. I don't see how you can have that duo and it doesn't inflict all sorts of damage on the entire NBA if Fultz is as advertised.
Here's the thing about this combination now, that in 2017, this is a great conversation to have. In 1997, this would be Armageddon because there's no way those two could coexist. They play the same position, and you can't have two of the same guys on the team because positions were so much more defined back then. And now it's positional versatility. You want guys that can play more than one thing because you can play them next to each other, or you can stagger them, or one can be a backup for the other. Like, there's just so many different possibilities. And you can go small, theoretically. Let's just assume that Fultz is what we think he's going to be. At 6'4", you can go small and play him at the wing. He's got the wingspan to be to defend threes. He can challenge shots out there. I mean, he's got to get stronger and whatnot, but obviously there's a possibility that he can shift over a position naturally. So there's all kinds of possibilities. You can now run Isaiah off the ball through multiple screens and have a guy that can deliver a pass pretty on the money, because Fultz is a tremendous passer as well. And he's really good at running the offense. So yeah, why not? Why not? The more players you have that can play multiple positions, that can do multiple things, that's better. So you're right. It's not about coexisting. I think it's about them thriving next to each other. I like the idea.
How fucking badass will they be? I think that's the new question.
How badass will they be? Well, let's see. We'll save that conversation for another show. How about that? We'll leave it as a cliffhanger. How badass can they be? Dun, dun, dun. Stay tuned, because we're going to have, it's probably going to be the only thing we talk about for like ever and ever. So at least until we sign Gordon Hayward. All right, guys. That's what you can expect for the next, I don't know, 6, 7, 8 weeks. If you are new, and I know somebody's tweeted us today, so there are new people who have just discovered the show. Thank you. Thank you for figuring it out. Thank you for joining us. Thank you for subscribing to us. If you are not a subscriber, if this is your first show and not the last one, then subscribe. However you got to us, you can probably subscribe to us through that. Or if not, go through iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, TuneIn app, whatever it is, everything, we're there. Search Locked On Celtics. Rate us 5 stars. Leave us a good review. That is currency to us. That is tremendously helpful. That raises our profile, bumps us up in the rankings, and makes us ever so close to being the best podcast ranking wise out there. We already know we're the best. We just gotta let everybody else know we're the best. So that's it. We'll be back tomorrow. Thanks for listening to the Locked On Podcast. We're part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Yeah, J. King and John Corrales, Locked On Celtics, Millie.
Napa know-how. It takes a lot to get excited about a bag, but most bags can't save you 20% on auto parts. That's 20% off headlamps, 20% off oil filters, 20% off virtually anything you can fit inside the 99-cent Napa reusable bag. So tell your buddies, there's a bag they just have to check out. Quality parts, helpful people. That's Napa know-how.
Napa know-how.
At participating Napa Auto Parts stores while supplies last. Minimum 3 items. Exclusions apply. Offer ends 10/31/17.